Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got your listening ears on because we are going to be covering quite a bit today on the pin down audio only. I don't know if I'm going to keep saying that every time. I'm trying to make that become my shtick, but we'll see. But today we're going to be talking about the Judgment Day. We're going to be talking about Blood and Guts. We're going to be talking about the Bastard, Pac. We are going to be talking about Nick Wayne, who's fresh off an AEW debut. And we are going to be talking about Chris Jericho. And do not forget, we are going to be hitting a hot take today as well, where I will ask you, what do you think about it at the end? So, sit back. You got some popcorn, eat some popcorn, you got a drink, whether it's alcoholic or not. I don't discriminate. Just be a good person. And, yeah, let's hear that intro. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest audio podcast not only in America, welcome to the greatest audio podcast not only in the world, welcome to the greatest audio podcast in the universe. I'm your host with the most charisma of the boasts, Destin Penn, and you are listening to Blurred Approved Entertainment's The Pin Down Audio Only. So let's go ahead and kick it. I will be honest, if I sound kind of tired or I have a bunch of brain fog moments, please forgive me. I'm recording this on Thursday, July 13th at 9:06 p.m., and it has been one hell of a day, but I made a promise that I will bring you guys some sort of content from me at least once a week. One, in hopes just to grow the channel, but two, just to entertain the masses and just to tell myself that if this doesn't work out the way I want it to be, at least I was consistent in it. And as you all know, consistency is key. So let's hop into who to pick first. Screw it. We'll go with Blood and Guts. So Blood and Guts is shaping up to be kind of well. As you guys know, if you watched yesterday's episode, Kota Ibushi is now in AEW, which, you know, I'm happy. It's not really a surprise, though, because that kind of seemed where everything was pointing. But if you follow me on my Instagram channel, the pin down with a zero instead of an O, and on Kingpin a 99, you'll kind of see I did a post where I was saying, pretty much, if they don't get Kota Ibushi or something happened, I feel like the best pick after that would have been Chris Jericho. And the reason that I feel like Chris Jericho would have been the next best pick is just because, one, he's kind of going through, I almost said a resurgence, but no, it's not. Kind of a rebirth in a sense where, like, it seems like he actually wants to be a good person and do right for the future of pro wrestling slash the future of AEW, where he's telling Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia to go out on their own and win gold because they can't always be under him. He talked with Jake Hager, and, you know, he had a match where he didn't cheat. He didn't have JAS helping him. So what I pretty much said in the post was that if they can't get Kota, it can do good with Chris, because just think about, like, the reaction of the Elite if Chris Jericho, the person who's hated them since day one, was like the Elite's first feud before Blackpool Combat Club and the Dark Order. You know, the man that hated their guts, like, coming in and helping them. And which, I'm not saying that, like, that's probably not going to happen down the road. I can kind of see maybe some sort of help from Jericho, especially since Takeshita is a part of Don Callis and kind of aligned himself with the Blackpool Combat Club. I can definitely see Jericho somehow getting involved in it. But are you guys looking forward to it next week? I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward, as I know it's going to be a good episode and it's going to be a good watch. But I don't know. So, like, with Blood and Guts, I feel like the best one they've had. So there's been, shit, I'm trying to think. I want to say there's been, this is going to be number four. Out of the three, I want to say the best one has probably been when it was Blackpool Combat Club versus Jericho Appreciation Society. I remember watching that at work and, like, very much enjoying myself. I didn't think it was going to be, well, So I didn't watch the first one. Sorry, let me backtrack. I did not watch the first one where it was the Inner Circle versus MJF's crew, Merry Misfits. I didn't watch that one, but it looked entertaining. I watched the Blackpool Combat Club and Jericho Appreciation Society, and I thought it was good. I kind of liked Claudio coming in. I liked the moment he had with Jake Hager. And this one, I feel like this one's going to be good, mainly just because a lot of the men in the match are amazing athletes. I am kind of sad that Bryan Danielson isn't going to be in it, but at the same time, he put on a hell of a match with Okada at Forbidden Door. So at the same time, the man gave us like a good performance. He can miss out on this performance, and probably with his health and age, he's probably not too mad that he's missing out on it. But I guess what are you guys' thoughts on it? Are you looking forward to it? Are you not looking forward to it? Do you feel like Kota's the best pick, or should have been somebody else? And since we're talking about this, let's move on to our next topic, Pac return. So, I'm saying Pac, like Tupac, but I'm pretty sure it's Pac. Yes, I'm so sorry, guys. Like I said, it's been a day, it's late, but I'm back returning and aligning myself with Blackpool Combat Club. So I was kind of surprised. I was kind of wondering because I was like, is it going to be somebody from like New Japan? Is it going to be even like an old wrestler that no one thought about? Or is it going to be like a wrestler that we kind of completely forgot about, which it was with Pac. So this kind of shows that he's done with Death Triangle, or maybe he's not. But it's kind of interesting that they picked him. He is a bit violent in like his way of wrestling, and if you doubt, go back and watch his early matches. And he did beat the likes of Hangman. He did beat Kenny Omega. He did beat the Bucks and Kenny Omega for the trios. Plenty of times in their series matches. So I'm kind of okay with with Pac being. I feel like if he is kind of gonna like align himself, I want him to look a little bit different. Like give him the jumpsuit, get on the uniform, kind of make him look like he's a part of the stable, even if it's for one night only. I feel like that's my only ask slash request because it is kind of weird. I feel like when like everybody's kind of matching and walking out, and then you got like the one guy coming out on his own. Like uniformity is key, and maybe that's just because I'm an army veteran. But that's just how I feel. But what do you guys think? Do you guys think maybe it should have been somebody else? And if it should have been somebody else, who do you have in mind? I'm trying to think if there's anybody that I would have been okay with. But kind of like I said, I was kind of lost to see who they were going to pick. So I'm not necessarily mad about it being the Bastard Pack. And I think he'll do pretty well. Kind of like I said, his wrestling is very ruthless. But hey, what do you guys think? Hey guys, sorry to interrupt your programming of me listening to me talk about my love for professional wrestling, but I just want to draw you guys' attention to Blur to Prove Entertainment. I know I talk about a lot about the Pin Down because that's the show. I do want to create a successful following for the Pin Down, but Blur Approved Entertainment are the people who not necessarily funding me, but they're the guys who are presenting me with this platform to do that for you guys. So I want you to please, please, please go check out their YouTube channel, Blur to Prove Entertainment. Watch a couple of my episodes, put some likes, give me some comments, give me some traffic going, but also check out all the other shows. They do just great shows. Even check out my guys' Then and Now podcast, where my best friend since middle school, Charlie Wilson, he's on there. Just please check them out. Like I promise you won't regret it. It'll be an excellent time. Now back to your programming. All right, so if you follow me on my Instagram, I already shouted it out. I'm Kingpin of 99 and the Pin Down with an underscore between the duh and Pin Down, and instead of a gosh, I'm forgetting my alphabet now. I know it's been a that long of a day, but damn. Instead of an O, it's a zero. But like I said, if you kind of follow me, you know that the majority of our talking is going to be AEW stuff. But let's divert from AEW and go over to Monday Night Raw, where we're going to be talking about the Judgment Day. So I'm not going to lie, the only thing I'm kind of sad about with the Judgment Day is that we did not get Judgment Day versus the Bloodline at War Games, because I feel like that would have been such a great match. And like they kind of tease us getting a feud. And I'm not gonna lie, you could have convinced me that they were moving to you could have convinced me that they were moving to SmackDown around the time of the draft, because I was just like, this is going to be so good. I can't wait. When is this feud going to happen? Because it's like they were teasing it, but it just never happened. And I feel like it's one of the things that I, you know, being, if I was like in creative charge or if I was like in Triple H position, I would have definitely had them. But for all we know, there could have been some sort of behind the scenes reasons. But if you've been following Damian Priest, won Money in the Bank at the pay-per-view, and Finn Balor lost against Seth Rollins. But now they're kind of back to their old dominating ways, because they just picked up a win against Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, who are DM champions. And they're on their way to possibly looking like it's going to be Finn Balor against Seth Rollins again. But I feel like if we really want to have a fun match at SummerSlam, make it Judgment Day. So Judgment Day being Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, or Dirty Dom, sorry, I'm still getting used to him being called that. And Senor Money in the Bank, Damian Priest, have them go against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins, but put it in a tornado. Listen, put it in a tornado tag team match to kind of switch it up, because we already seen them team up and fight. So switch it up a little bit, put them in a tornado tag team match, possibly make it Extreme Rules even, and have Seth Rollins and Sami Owens, have Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn put their belts on the line in sort of a winner takes all match. I feel like that would be a really awesome match, kind of like a way to include everybody, because if the rumors are true, DIY might not be a part of SummerSlam, or it may not be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens against them. So I feel like if that's the case and they're kind of waiting on that, definitely do that. But they kind of tease that they are going to break up, and I'm kind of hoping they don't, because I love everything about the Judgment Day. I love the dynamic. I will admit, when Edge debuted, I was kind of already a fan of it when Edge debuted it back in 2022, just because it's Edge. Like, everything he touches is going to be gold in WWE. But then when they dumped Edge to the curb, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be good still. Like, but then, like, it kind of just kept getting better and better. They found their own vibe. Their feud with Edge, even though it was long, I still found it thoroughly entertaining for the most part. Dominic kind of went on his little side feud with his dad. So I kind of feel like the best way to kind of have a faction be good and stay interesting is, like, they don't always have to fight other factions or, like, a group of superstars. They can kind of be together, but at the same time, have their own side feuds. Like, kind of how Rhea Ripley is a part of the Judgment Day, but she's also champion. Damian Priest is Mr. Money in the Bank. Kind of make it in a little bit like how Evolution did theirs. So I feel like with Triple H being in charge of creative, that's kind of why they're not always so grouped together. It's like, if you guys remember the Shield, great faction. I'm not going to lie, Shield is probably the last great faction until the Bloodline, peak Bloodline with Sami Zayn, and the Judgment Day arrived. But if you kind of remember early on at one time, every pay-per-view was just the Shield going against, like, three superstars. So, like, I think Elimination Chamber, you had the Shield going against John Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback. And then, literally, at WrestleMania, you had the Shield versus Big Show, Sheamus, and Randy Orton. So, like, you know, I feel like you don't have to do that. Like, you can kind of still have them a faction. Like, every so often, they band together and face those three superstars who are kind of, like, discombining. But you don't always have to, like, you know, kind of, like, to set it up where it's, like, three random superstars. They're just like, I'm tired of the Judgment Day running, you know, roughshod on Raw. Like, you don't have to do that. Just kind of let them be their own characters, but they just have a common goal, and that's why they're banding up. But, God, I forget where I was even at. But I'm trying to do my best to backtrace, but love the Judgment Day. I do hope they don't break up anytime soon. Now, Damian Priest winning the Money in Bank. Do I love Damian Priest? Yes. Like I said, I love Judgment Day. That includes everybody that's in. I love Damian Priest. But even I kind of gave a little, like, you know, like, I tilted my head a little bit when I saw him win. Because I don't know. Like, it should have been LA Knight, if I'm being honest. Like, me personally, I was expecting LA Knight to win. And I was like, he'll probably get moved, you know, to, I was like, he'll probably get moved to Raw, cash in on Seth, but it is what it is. No use in crying over something that already happened. You can't turn back time. But I'm not mad, but I really, when he did that, I was really thinking Finn was going to walk out of Money in the Bank as a new World Heavyweight Champion. That's what I really thought. And then I thought they were going to, like, tease us with the whole, like, you know, you would never cash in on me, right? And he's like, you know, no, dude, like, you know, you're my leader and you're like my best friend and my stable mate, and kind of like just keep teasing us with that. And then Seth gets it, and then possibly Damian Priest cashes in on Seth when he wins it from Balor. You know, that's where I was thinking, but now it's looking like it could still possibly go there, but at this point, who knows? I feel like every time I have some kind of prediction, it always goes south and it's never right. So how about you guys leave your thoughts? Do you think I'm kind of might be onto something? Do you think that kind of should be the way it should go? Or maybe not really at all? And since we kind of wrapped up that, we are going to move on to the young 18-year-old who is currently killing the AEW landscape, even though he's fresh on the scene, Nick Wayne. So if you kind of don't know Nick Wayne, he's he was an independent pro wrestler. You can watch a lot of his matches on GCW, him teaming up with Blake Christian. Excellent wrestler. He signed a contract, I want to say last year, but the contract was only valid once he turns 18 and when he graduated high school. And he had his debut match against a guy that I'm really high on in AEW, Swerve Strickland. And even though he lost, he put on a hell of a fight. And this match alone was great. I feel like Swerve was probably the best person to do it. I would have said Darby and kind of like, you know, like give him like a good rub since like they're friends. And he's just like, you know, I want to show you how. He wants to show him like how rough the wrestling business can be, especially in AEW. But I still feel like Swerve is good, and I would like to see them like run it back. They don't have to like run it back next week, but like kind of you can kind of build up to it. And I'm kind of glad that they let Swerve win, because it does kind of show that even though Nick Wayne is a new kid, they still do very much care about like the veterans, I guess, and the people who are kind of new. But, you know, like, not so new. Like, I think Swerve has only been on the AEW roster, I want to say, for less than a year or slightly more than a year. So I am happy that Swerve won. Big, huge fan of Swerve, especially that theme song, bro. That's probably top five best AEW theme songs. Oh, yeah, the other thing. So now a lot of people, since, you know, like, he's 18 and everybody thinks they're a freaking wrestling expert, they're talking about, you know, like, I don't like the pressure AEW's putting on him. First off, like, how do you know they're putting pressure on him? For all you know, like, Tony Khan could just be like, yeah, have a good match. You know, like, Tony Khan could just, you know, been like, hey, like, you know, do good, do bad, it's all good. Like, we'll get you there. So, you know, I think that's, like, a bold thing to say when you're not behind the scenes. And let's be honest, the people who are saying this aren't wrestlers, obviously. They're people who, you know, just, you know, kind of like me, I guess. But just, like, the more unhinged version of me. They kind of feel like they can take over a wrestling business just like that, to where I'm a bit smarter and know that it's not that easy. But now they're talking about pretty much how they're putting too much pressure. But then you also have a lot of people who are optimistic, who they're just like, they understand that Nick Wayne isn't on that level of like Kenny Omega and Ospreay. But for him to be just 18 years old and have that much talent, and obviously has a lot more left in the tank, he can probably go on to get to that level, if not even more. But at the same time, I don't feel like we should kind of start pinning him as like the next Kenny Omega of AEW or the next Will Ospreay. I feel like we should kind of just, one, let him craft his own character, his own person, and also just kind of like be patient and wait and see where it goes. And that's pretty much all I got to say about Nick Wayne. I feel like that was my shortest one. But also, I'm not the biggest Nick Wayne fan, as in like I've only seen a couple of his matches. I've seen tons of highlights, but like I just feel like I can't talk too much because I don't know about him and his character and like his wrestling style. I know he's a high flyer, but like other than that, I couldn't tell you what his finisher was or like any signature move he does. However, I will say that that reverse Poison Rana was absolutely ghost. That shot up the top rope. That was sweet. And then, so moving on, we are going to go to our last AEW topic and our last thing before we get to the hot take. So that is Chris Jericho. So I kind of talked about him, I feel like, earlier in a sense. Well, I was, but I was talking to him about more Blood and Guts, but also just kind of just felt like wanting to talk about him since he's kind of getting some focus shown on him. And I'm kind of happy because I do think Chris Jericho's a hell of a talent, but for like a while he's kind of just been playing like the 80s, 90s bad guy where like he's evil, but you know, like he's not going to win or go over in the end. He's always going to lose. Like he lost to Adam Cole, he lost to Sting and Darby Allin. You know, like you kind of just know he's not going to win. So I am kind of happy that like they're giving him some direction that can see him kind of getting closer to the top. And it is kind of sad, but like I kind of forgot that Chris Jericho was the first AEW champion. I didn't like forget. Like if you asked me, I could have told you, but I was just like, this guy's like losing left and right and all this stuff. But go back and watch like the first couple episodes of AEW, and dude was like the man. Like it was him, Dean Ambrose, like Kenny Omega, like he was like on top of the food chain for a while. But then kind of like I want to say I was going to say after he dropped the title to Moxley, but probably after the whole stadium stampede and all that stuff, I felt like he kind of went down to where like he was still Chris Jericho, but it was more so like Chris Jericho, former WWE superstar, instead of Chris Jericho, former AEW champion, if that makes sense. So I am happy that they're kind of giving him some direction. I'm curious to see if like they're showing it how he's turning babyface, but he could just up and join Don Callis' family, and for all we know, have like the heel run of a lifetime. So I am curious to see where it goes. I do feel like Chris Jericho, Don Callis, and Takeshita feud would be pretty nice, especially like if they add more people to Don Callis' family, then he can bring in I want to say the whole Jericho Appreciation Society, but at this point, I would just say bring in Daniel Garcia and Sammy Guevara, and like kind of have them like run it, you know, run like a big, a good 6-man tag match, and kind of even like what I said with them Judgment Day, kind of make it like a tornado match, kind of just have it all over, kind of do like a bunkhouse brawl match. Like I feel like that would be a really good way. I feel like Jericho does really well in like the wild matches, like Blood and Guts, Stadium Stampedes, and all that. I feel like that's kind of his specialty in AEW. He's very creative with how to go about doing stuff. And I feel like if they kind of want to elevate Don Callis and his faction, I feel like that would be the best way to do it with Chris Jericho. Like, imagine them just running roughshod on all of them, having them like bloody in the middle of the ring. Boom. Like, I feel like that would do a good job of establishing him. And then hopefully from that point, we can go on to Takeshita being a champion. I would very much love to see him be All Atlanta champion. I feel like that belt would just look excellent on him. But wait and see. I'm liking the Orange Cassidy run, but you know, I feel like it's kind of time to wrap up that title reign. I feel like he's kind of done all he's could, beat everybody he kind of could. I feel like if we are going to have him get defeated anytime soon, Takeshita is probably the best guy to do it. And with that being said, we are done with the five topics. Sorry, kind of lost track. And we are about to go into our hot take. So after this short, brief intermission, please stay tuned and I'll see what you think about the hot take. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back for the hot take, and the hot take is by Durag Vinny. If you don't follow him on Instagram, I kind of would. He makes like the most hilarious pro wrestling memes with them, usually AEW, Impact Wrestling, WWE, all those. But he made this. He asked this question back in June 20th of this year, and it's a post that says, "It seems this is the direction AEW is heading in. Are you happy that CM Punk returned?" And to describe the logo, it's a fan made logo where it shows CM Punk versus MJF at the All In London Wembley Stadium and pretty much is asking us fans, like, are we happy that this is the direction? So here's my thing. I don't. So I'm a CM Punk fan, as in, like, I like him in the ring. I feel like if I were, like, just to meet him, like, at a wrestling meet and greet or, like, on the street, I don't think he would be, like, a piece of shit. I feel like he'll be, like, a great person. However, one thing I kind of didn't like is how, like, he's saying, like, he's still the champion. He's never been, like, crowned when, if I'm not mistaken, Tony Khan stripped him and the Bucks of their titles when the whole brawl thing happened last year. So, like, why is he still doing this? And I guess kind of like because he's CM Punk and he doesn't give a damn. But I feel like kind of just should move on from this point. I would very much so be down for like a whole program slash feud with Samoa Joe and have him win like the ROH TV title possibly, or even just like eventually work his way back and go after the AEW championship. But if this is the direction, I wouldn't be mad at it. I feel like it would be a nice match. And not even nice. I feel like it'd be a great fucking match, if I'm being honest. But I feel like I would only be happy about it if MJF wins. And I don't mean like with shenanigans, like MJF wins clean, because I feel like with like the track history of like CM Punk getting injured twice with the championship belt and then all that stuff happening, not saying that like he's going to get injured if he gets the belt or he's going to fight the Bucks and Kenny Omega again, but kind of like I feel like CM Punk and AEW is best for business for AEW and us the fans, but I don't think CM Punk necessarily needs the AEW championship to elevate himself. I feel like we should have this match and there should be no follow-up match. There should be like nothing that kind of even speculates that we're going to revisit it on the upcoming Dynamite or Collision. I feel like it should just be a one and done match they just do for their biggest show currently, and they include their biggest stars, which is CM Punk, and I feel like many fans will argue this, but I feel like MJF is also one of their top stars. I feel like he is the only person currently that is not Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, Brian Danielson, Heyman Page, like the founding fathers of AEW and like the big top stars. I feel like he's the only one that can hold the belt, and at this point, I'm not even sure who I see taking the belt off of him. I can kind of see Adam Cole, but at the same time, I don't think Adam Cole is going to be the one to do it. There's really nobody in my mind I can think about that could beat him for the belt. I would say Orange Cassidy, but I don't see them giving Orange Cassidy the belt. I can see them getting the belt down the line, but I don't see him beating MJF for the belt. And then he already beat the Four Pillars. So with that being said, I just don't get who can do it. Now, maybe you see somebody. Maybe like it's obvious, and maybe I'll get done recording this episode, and then like I'll go downstairs to my smoking hot girlfriend and be like, "Oh snap, I forgot about this person. I forgot about this person." But yeah, so I kind of said what I said. I'm saying I'm okay with it. Like it's up to me. Like Tony Khan's gonna call me, be like, "Hey Jeff, let me get your opinion." But I would be down to see MJF versus CM Punk at All In at the London Wembley Stadium. But as long as like it's a good build up, good program, and it kind of just ends after that and MJF takes the W. But what do you think? And with that being said, that wraps up our episode. So I want to thank you guys so much for I was about to say coming here, but just listening to this. And please feel free to leave any kind of thoughts you have. What do you think I was right about, if anything, or maybe you think I was just completely wrong? But I'm always just curious to hear you guys' thoughts. And sometimes it helps change mine because I'm very open to changing my way of thinking if I feel like whoever I'm talking with, their way of thinking makes sense. So please, please, please do not hesitate to leave me any sort of hate comments or even just polite ones. You know, I very much enjoy interacting with you guys, the fans, and just listening to what you got to say. So with that being said, thank you so much. Please be sure to check out the rest of the Blur to Prove Entertainment stuff. I wish you guys a wonderful, depending on whenever you're listening to this, morning, evening, midday, afternoon, night, I don't know. But yes, thank you guys very much. You guys make it very easy for me to come on here and just kind of express how I think about pro wrestling. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful rest of your time. Godspeed.